Turn with me, if you will, to verse number 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you again for the reading of your word. God, we pray, Lord, that you'd give us everything that you intend for us to have this morning. God, would you give us help? Sit down from heaven, Father. I pray, God, for a touch this morning. Lord, that your message would be preached. God, let me get out of the way, Lord, and just be an empty vessel for you this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd send the help, Lord, that we so stand in need of. Help our nation today, Lord. Help our churches today. Help us as Christians today to be bold and to stand up and to stand out for you. God, I thank you so much for everything you've done for us. Thank you for the service so far, the songs. Lord, I just want to say thank you for being so good to me and how good it is to be saved. And we'll ask all these favors and blessings in the precious name of Jesus. I do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Now you might be asking about this verse right here and saying, "Preacher, what's the backstory to this? Where's all this coming from? Why is everybody having to pick sides?" And it tells us of a story where they was in the wilderness, right? These are the times that they was going through, and Moses had been leading these people, the children, out, and they'd come to a place, and it tells us that Moses had told them in this verse that there was coming a time that they had to pick a side. And they had to pick a side because you know what? They got to where they was trying to serve God, but they was yet still trying to serve the world. And it was catching up to them. It comes to the side and lets us know right here that there's a time where me and you, and today is the day that we have to pick a side. Everybody must pick a side. There is no staying neutral. You must pick a side today. You are either going to be on the side of the Lord or you are on the side of His enemies. There are Christians today that they want to be saved, they want to be a Christian, but they still want to hang out in their sins. You know what I'm saying this morning, church? Everybody with me? Are we all right this morning? They want to come, and they want to come to this place, but they don't want to give up that place. Y'all hear me? They want to come and hang out with these people, but they don't want to leave them people alone. They still want to hang out with them. And Moses said, there's come a time when you don't have to pick a side. You're either on the Lord's side or you're on the Satan's side, but you're coming, you're going to have to pick a side. These people had come to a place where Moses, it tells us in the very first of chapter number 32, and it said that Moses went up to a mountain and he was communing with God. He was talking with God about some things. And God had given him some things that he was writing down on some tablets, if you will. Some things to teach the children. And he tells them out there that these people, they got tired of waiting on Moses. And they told Aaron, they said, "We need God to serve. We need something we can see." They'd be looking at Moses. And they said, "We need something we can see." And Aaron said, "You know what?" He said, "Bring me a gold. Bring all these earrings and stuff. And I've got a graving tool. And what we'll do is we'll put all this together." And Aaron made them a golden calf. That's what they did. And that's what they wanted to see. They said, "We can't wait on Moses. He's been gone too long." They had had a godly leader, Brother Aaron, and they could not wait 40 days. And it wasn't too many chapters before that Moses had given them the law and told them, "Don't make no graven image. No likeness. Don't do any of that stuff. Stay away from this stuff." Moses had shown the children, "Don't go that way of the world. We are bringing you out of Egypt. We're going to the promised land. We're going to a better place. Don't look back on where God brought you from."
Amen.
But the people showed a lack of faith and a lack of trust in God. They said, "We need something we can see. We're going a different route." Well, this golden calf is pretty. And that reminded me this morning. The Lord spoke to me this morning, and He told me, "What would the church do if I was gone for 40 days? What would you do? What if the Lord put me in a hospital or somewhere for 40 days? We know that COVID-19 is going on and I'm not immune to it, no matter what I do. I can wash my hands, I can wear a mask, and I'm all for everybody taking all the cautions, but if God wants to give it to me, He's going to give it to me."
That's right.
What if God did me that? I can't go nowhere. I'm in a hospital. I'm in a ventilator. I'm at the house for 14 days. What's going to happen? What's going to go on? Who's going to show up? Who's going to still be on the Lord's side? When people miss, I guarantee you there'll be somebody, and I'm not saying there today, but somebody miss and say, "Well, the preacher don't know where they're there." How fast will people turn to the ways of the world? They turn pretty fast right here. Didn't take them long here. He said, "We can't wait on Moses. We need a God that we can serve," and they wanted something.
something they can see. You know what? That means that faith went right out the door when it went something they can see. And God had left by a fire by the day, and our pillar of cloud by the day, and a fire by night. Remember that in the reading of the Bible? He had already left them. He had shown them things about God, but that wasn't good enough. They wanted something else. They said, well, we like Moses. They sure murmured a lot. We like Moses, but we're tired of waiting on him. What if the Lord put me off somewhere for a couple of weeks and just said, you know what, I'm going to pull you to the side, and I just want you just to pray and just be me and you for a week or two. What's going to happen here? Y'all still going to gather and still sing? I think you will. I mean, I'm going to cast those stones and didn't say nothing about nobody. I think it's still me. But if you don't think the pull of the world is strong, let me tell you something. The pull of the world is strong.
Amen.
It's strong. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me give you three things that come out of this verse to me. Number one, there's got to be a separation in your loyalty to God. There's got to be some loyalty to God. And when you do, or when you are wrong, you better separate those things. And I know people say, well, preach, you stay on the separation all the time. Actually, that's what the Bible says, to separate from the world. He said, you leave all that stuff and leave you behind. Paul wrote in Corinthians, why you have to get away from these things. Separate yourself. You cannot live for God and still live for the world at the same time. Yes, we have to go out in the world every day. We've got jobs. We work. We do not have to fellowship with this world. He said there must be a separation. He said, who's on the Lord's side? He said, we need to separate ourselves. And that separation means that you've got to separate from some philosophies, some practices, and things of this world that don't line up with God. No matter what it costs you, you know what it did? It took something for these people to separate themselves. Sometimes it comes with mocking. Sometimes it comes with ridicule. It comes with people saying, oh, that separation ain't necessary. You ever heard this one? You'll never get up here and tell somebody, oh, just go to church. Just say, just go to church. Just go to church. Get in the right church is what I tell you. You better get in a church where you can grow, where you can mature, where you're getting fed, where you can be more of God. Just go to church. Oh, that separation is necessary. We're still having church over here too. I found what they tried to tell you. Y'all don't have to separate from us. We're still having church. Let me tell you something. If Jesus is not there, I don't know what you have to do in a church.
That's right.
And these people's not having church. They've been mocked out of God. They've got them in a statue. They were serving. And then wouldn't that tell us something? All these other religions have these statues, these images. They ain't serving God. They're looking for something else to serve. They want something they can see. This statue. We'll bow to the statue. The Bible teaches us we must bow to God. We don't have no man. We bow to God. We bow to the cross. These people started making a mockery. It said if they started coming together, they couldn't wait on Moses. The Bible says that they got, let me read this verse and see how far out of hand they got right here. And it says that they made a goat, and they said, we'll have a feast here. And it says they rose up early in verse 6, early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat, to drink, and they rose up to play, is what the Bible says. And they wouldn't play no games. This wasn't hide and seek. This wasn't no monopoly. This wasn't no card games or nothing like that. They started having a feast, and the Bible teaches us they were eating, they were drinking, they rose up to play. And I try to be mindful in here. I know we got children, so start using your imagination. They started doing immoral and illicit things, activities.
Right.
You know what I mean? Can explain it to the kids if you want to. They started doing things they didn't have no business to for their things that should take place between a husband and a wife at home. You get where I'm going here. And you ought to tell your kids about this stuff too. Because if you won't, the world will. They started doing things they had no business doing out in the world. And the Lord got mad about this. They were calling themselves church, but they wouldn't have a church. I'm reminded this morning that there's a church. And I'm not calling her name because you might know somebody that goes there. But it's indicated. I know the things they have. They have brought in all the things of the world to try to gather people in and have church. And we bring it in the Lord. You can't have a church.
Right, amen.
But you got to separate from the things.
Right.
There's got to be something different about you. If everything inside your four walls matches everything outside these four walls, then it's church.
Right.
They make a mockery out of God, is what they're doing.
Amen.
They were playing music. about it, and I kind of heard the song, but you ever know sometimes you might catch yourself, I've done this, I kind of like I'm just sitting with spiritual hands on me. I'll catch myself thinking a song, saying, man, that's a good tune, that's a good beat. And then once you find out what the lyrics are, you're like, oh my goodness, can't believe I sing that, that's what it's talking about. I've done that. I'm not trying to act like I ain't ever done that before. You don't want to know the music I used to listen to. I'm telling you, I used to listen to stuff that was full of vulgarity. I did. It was wrong for me to do that. It didn't help me grow up in spiritual ends. It didn't help me at all. The things I was listening. As a matter of fact, it separated me from God. And the bad thing about it was, I was listening to that music in high school after I was already saved. I've done more sin since I've been saved than I did before I got saved. They got away from God. They thought what they was doing was having church, and it was not having church. You just be mindful. Read your Bible. When places start heaping to themselves, when you start seeing swelling going on, they're always growing and swelling, and they heap. These places that you'll see that you'll hear people say, man, it's moving, it's really growing. Our church is unbelievable growing. Can God use me in churches? Of course He can. Let me tell you something. I know two very powerful men of God. One is my preacher. They got big churches. It's where a lot of people grow their churches. But every time you hear or you see a place that's speaking to themselves, start watching, see what's going on. Because people said in the last days they'll start heaping to themselves. What are teachers? That scratch their itch. They just want to know they're doing okay and they're doing good and everything's going to be all right. They don't want to hear no conviction. They don't want to hear about their sin. They don't want to hear about their sin. They don't want to be told that everything's all right.
Amen.
When I come. Darkness represents death. And if you don't think he'll try to slither his way in here, he'll do.
Right.
And if you don't think, if you know the fact that he'll try to come into your house, you better be careful about it. Don't leave no door open for him. Don't leave your windows up. Don't leave your car door open because he'll ride home with you.
Right.
Pull off and kick him out of the car. Who cares if you look crazy? Do it anyway. Open that door and kick your leg out and tell him to get out. Who's on the Lord's side? Moses said, we need none. He said, I want to know who's going to stand. And you know what? Don't worry about how everybody looks at you, what they think. And you know what? If you're the only one that has to stand, just do it because God will be there.
Amen.
Sometimes we have to stand, Lord. And I believe Moses was prepared. Because you know what the Lord said? The Lord was so mad. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, get thee. What was it, verse 8? He said, they have turned aside quickly on the way which I have commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed them to it and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people.
Amen.
You know what that's referring to? Oxen and stuff, they rebel when they fight against the rains and stuff like that. He said, that's what these people do. He said, that's what they're doing. Now therefore let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. You know what he told Moses? That's what the Lord told him. He said, I'll go in there and I'll kill every one of them, and I'll make a great nation of you because you're right. And I know if nobody else, and I believe Moses was prepared that day, that if nobody else stood up and had the Lord's side, Moses said, I think I'll stay with him.
Amen.
What a preacher they had right here. Look what it did. And you know what happened when the Lord said that? The Lord was going to kill them people. You know what he said? What Moses said? Moses said, look what he said. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why did thy wrath wax hot against thy people and said, brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. And this is where he said that everything would be turned against him. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for this should you bring them out to slay them in the mountains? Consume them in the face of the earth. Turn from the rear, turn from my fierce path. Repent of this evil against people. And notice right there, they ain't talking about repenting the same thing we got. It's Moses is asking the Lord, please change your mind, God. Please change your mind. The Lord doesn't ever have no sin. He didn't have to tell no sin. He said, please change your mind. He said, don't let these people be a word against you that they can say, you have no, you gave a covenant with Abraham about how his seed will be blessed and you'll be multiplying and you'll inherit the land and all these people will not do this. They'll use that against you and that'll be a reason for not coming to you. Moses said, please, Lord, turn away from your wrath. The Bible says in verse 14, the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. He changed his mind. And this is where it gets good. Look at this right here. Boy, I'd love to have me a pastor like him. I believe I got one too. He said, and Moses turned and went down to the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hands. In his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the side of the other, where they written. And the tables are the work of God. So right in that statue, he went down there, and the Lord gave him a word. And Moses said, Lord, you don't have to worry about it. He said, I'm going to have it. And he said right here, when Joshua heard the noise of the people, they shouted and said to Moses, there's a war of noise in the camp. He said, it's not the voice of them that shout to master, it is the voice of them that cry for being overcome. The noise of them that sing out of here. And it came to pass, as soon as he came down into the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them. He said, I've been with the people for 40 days to go and commune with God, get a word from God, try to be what I'm supposed to be. He said, I can't believe for 40 days and you know the times and ways of the world. He said they was dancing. He said they was partying. He was doing all these things. And it said he took the calf which they had made and he burned it to fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water. And listen to this right here. Not only did he break this calf and throw it in there, said he ground it up in the powder. Brother, listen to this right here. He said he strawed it upon water and made the children of Israel drink of it. He said there's some sin in your life and you don't get it right today. He said if you're going to follow me, you're going to do things God's way. There was no compromising with Moses. I appreciate Moses in this thing. He said there was no compromising with Moses. I like that verse. What's a good one, is it not? And he said right there, look what he did right here. He took the calf, he burned it, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, and thou hast brought so great a sin upon thee. And here comes Aaron trying to make excuses. He's trying to make excuses. Let not my anger, my Lord, wax hot. Thou knowest the people, they are set on mischief. Aaron says, you know how these people are. I tried to tell them, Moses, but they didn't want to listen. Aaron's the one that said, bring me things and I'll make a statue. He tried to turn it on the people. What of Moses, and it's right here, Aaron, he was Moses' mouthpiece. What the Bible tells us. He was the one that talked to the people and then turned it on the people. Moses, you know how this church is. They're a bunch of misfits. They don't do nothing right. I told you, they might have went to AAA. They ain't going to quit drinking. They might have went to rehab. They ain't going to quit doing drugs. They ain't going to quit making the wrong mistakes in the world. They ain't going to keep making bad things. Moses, you know these people. They're full of mischief. Deuteronomy chapter number 9 says that the Lord was mad at Aaron. He goes into detail about this story. Go and read that Deuteronomy 9. I read it all at the same time. Deuteronomy 9 gives more into the story of what's going on right here. The Lord was mad about these things. And Moses, he didn't got to where he's at right here. You know what it says up to Aaron? What it says up to the church? And Moses saw that the people were naked. For Aaron had made them naked and their shame upon their hands. Then Moses stood at the gate of the camp. And you know what he had to be saying? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The ways of the world is like they go. And I'm reminded where it says their nakedness and all the things that he's doing. Y'all remember when we had, I believe it was a couple of years ago, I don't know how many of you here, we had the Perrys here singing. Perrys were here singing. Great gospel group. Love the Lord. I appreciate the way they sing, the testimony. They like to testify while they're singing. Well, they was here, and me and Nicole, we stayed behind and we was talking. To Miss Libby, you remember that? And she was talking about things. And we was talking about places they go. And she said, you would not believe how church has changed in some people. She said, we have went into some churches and this was people singing up in the choir. Said hardly had any clothes on at all. She said, I couldn't believe it. And look, I'm not here today to tell you everybody here must wear a suit. I'm not here to tell you today everybody must wear a lady must wear a dress, everybody must wear a suit. But come fully clothed, please.
Amen.
Come clothed. Just wear your best. Whatever your best is. Whatever it is. Well, preacher, some of myself might be dirty today. Wear it. We can get a judgment. Preacher, I might have to wear the same dress five Sundays in a row. Wear it. Don't matter. Just come presentable to the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not here saying you got to wear this, you got to wear that. Just come presentable. That's all you have to do. I've even heard where some people say, I didn't know if I was going to church or if I was going down to the beach. I couldn't believe that. A preacher tell me that. Just cover up. Men, cover up. Women, cover up. Because you know why? Because we all got eyes. And anybody that says they ain't never lusted, they probably tell the truth.
Right.
Ladies, don't tell me that. Don't tell me you ain't seen no good looking men walking down the road. At the mall, at the grocery store. Men, don't tell me you ain't never seen no pretty woman when you go with their Chick-fil-A line or something like that. We all have eyes and we've all seen.
Right.
But it's my job.
Amen.
Because the Lord holds me accountable for the way I dress and the way I come. And I know that stuff's wrong. And I don't want to be a part of that stuff. That hurts me spiritually. If I don't control lust, and lust of all kind, not just, and let's hear this too, not just lust after the opposite sex, but the Bible talks about lust as having evil desires towards something.
Right.
It's more than just the flesh of another person.
Right.
There's a lot of people that struggle with this lust, wanting something. Cars, jobs, things like that, homes. We lust over more than just a human being.
Right.
We need to get that under control. Well, preacher, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just pop my eyeballs out? I don't believe you're supposed to pop your eyeballs out. Unless the Lord tells you to, but I don't tell you to. But I tell you what you can do. You can learn to pray. You can learn to turn away.
Right.
You can learn to look down. My mom always told me it's good to look somebody in the eye when talking to them. It's good to look somebody in the eye when talking to them. Shows respect. He said there's a declaration here. He said, come on now. Separate. Let him know what he's saying. Don't be afraid to tell him what you're going to say. Because the Lord's going to be by his side. Last one, the association of disloyalty. It said, and all the Levites. What does it say? Let me just read it because I'm going to mess it up. It said in verse 26, and all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Ain't it good if we can be around other church people? When we associate with them, not people who throw us on the Bible. When you come together with your church, the church is important. That's why the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. I know people say that. It's also to encourage you for the day coming, right? For the day approaching that Jesus is coming back. We need encouragement. We need church. There's great strength in church. There's unity in church. There's great power in church.
Amen.
The association, we all come together with Christian brothers and sisters. What does that mean? We all want to agree on every single thing today. That ain't what that means. But if we can pray about anything, we can get very much. We're here to worship God. We're here to sing praises to the Lord. Who are you associated with today? All the children of the Levites said, the sons of Levites said, they gathered themselves up. I believe that they took part in this sin. I believe that when they took a stand and got on the Lord's side, that they had turned from their evil ways, turned to the Lord. And not only did they receive forgiveness, but look at verse 29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today for the Lord. Even every man upon his son, upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a what? A blessing. So not only forgiveness, when they decided to be on the Lord's side, they found Brother Aaron blessings.
Amen.
That's what the blessings was. The blessings wasn't in the party. The blessings wasn't in the drinking. The blessings wasn't in the eating. The blessings wasn't in the nakedness. The blessings was when they chose to stand in the Lord.
Right.
That's what the blessings.
Amen.
Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? So I wrote these things down. Let me give you this one. Well, I to be on the Lord's side, the people must own their allegiance publicly. Teaches us that, right? They must publicly profess. I love to hear people stand up and testify to the Lord. They must have an open union with the church, right? How do you have an open union with the church? By boldly rebuking sin, by testifying the truth, by not conforming to the world, but conforming to Jesus. And must be willing, this is the one that gets people, must be willing to be in the minority. A lot of times we want to follow the crowd. Let me tell you something, that crowd will lead you straight to hell. The Bible teaches that the Lord always used a remnant. Small. I'm always reminded, Brother Merle, when I think about the minority, about, remember when Caleb and Joshua, they went out to inspect the fruit of the land of the giants. And they sent 12 out. And 10 come back and said, yeah, there's a lot going on over there. Said, there's armies over there. Said, there's giants over there. Said, they'll destroy us if we go over there. We're no match for them. They've got great walls, big cities. They're ready for anything that comes their way. Caleb and Joshua, they didn't come back. 10 doesn't say, no, we can't go. We better not do it. Let's just not. Let's stay where we are. Let's find another place to go to. We don't want to go to that place. Okay, but Joshua comes straight in there and said, boys, I'm going to take them. I'll let them go. They act like they're big, but they ain't big. God's big.
Amen.
Said, we got the Lord on our side. Let's go over there and let's show them people what God can do. Let's stand with the strength of God. Let's stand and we'll tell them we're going to be on the Lord's side. Let's go over there. We're going to eat of that fruit. We're going to dwell. And we're going to have the blessings of the Lord because the Lord said we can do it. We're going to trust the Lord and follow Him. Two of them said that. The minority. You better be willing to be a minority today. When people tell you, oh, it ain't that important for you to have a King James Bible, it's that important. Oh, you ain't got to keep giving singing them old hymns. Won't you just, you need to get with today's time. Get with the program. We're singing different stuff there. It's the same hymns, the same hymn, the same my grandfather. I love what they do. I was talking to a lady for this week. I've invited her to church and talked to her. She's trying to get back in church. She said, you know what? I've been to other churches. And she said, I just can't get away. And this is what she said. From my fly away. She said, you just can't make it. This somebody didn't get in church for a while. She said, you remember, she said, John, you know that song, Swing Wide the Gates, I'm Coming Home? She's over there teaching me something. Somebody ain't been in church for a while. She's teaching me something. She said, I love that song. She started reminding me. You know what I did? I caught myself singing that song. Swing Wide the Gates, I can't sing it, but don't make all try. I was singing it, and I said, well, then she just reminded me. You know what? The ways of the world might be going to this new thing. Stay with God. Stay with God. My Bible says in Matthew chapter number 7, when Jesus said, many are going the wrong way.
Right.
Few find eternal life. Few people. But bro, it's not the ways of the world. Well, the ways of the world is going that way. You know what? And it don't matter who tells you that. It don't matter to me if the President of the United States one day says, we're all going this way. We're all going to this church to do it this way. I'm going to stay with God. I'll stay with the way of the Lord because I'm on the Lord's side. Whatever God tells me to do is what I'm going to do. One day that might lead me to go to jail. What you going to do one day when I'm preaching out against sin and somebody comes in here and says he can't do it no more? We're taking you to jail. Don't you go to church? Jim, I hear you. I tell you what, I hope y'all will come and gather at the altar and pray that the Lord will shake the walls down in the jailhouse. Can you do it? I believe he can. Acts chapter 16, if you don't believe, get in there. Then people started praying and an earthquake came. I scared people today when we was in church and we were watching, we was praying and an earthquake hit. How many of us have been home this year? It used to be powerful in this. Pray, church. We just need to pray. Pray that we'll stay on the Lord's side. To be on the Lord's side takes some things. To be on the Lord's side means to give first place to God. I believe His Word says, Brother Murray, to love you with all thy heart, all thy mind. To love the Lord, give Him first place in your life. To be on the Lord's side, we're going to say this with a publicly professed name. I just like to stand and say, it's good to be saved. It's good to be in church. The Lord sure is good to us. I don't mind coming to the prison. He's been good to me today. Oh, He's given me shelter. He's given me clothes. He's given me food. He's given me air to breathe. I want it this
morning. Amen.
To devote our life to Him is what being on the Lord's side is. It's not just being in church on Sundays and Wednesdays, but devote yourself to Him. Kind of goes back to that declaration, you know, where people say, we're on the Lord's side, we'll be with the Lord. Where are they at? Where are they all at today? Why is the numbers in churches that are really honing in on trying to be with God, why are they shrinking? Where's the people at this morning? Where are they going? Or if they'll come to church, they'll be faithful. They'll come to church on Sunday, where are they at in revivals? Where are they at singings? Where are they at on work days? Where are they at? What's going on here? I thought they loved the Lord. I thought they loved the church. Where are they at? I understand things come up, and I'm not throwing no stones. But if we're on the Lord's side, we need to be showing it every day of our life. So I'll end with this right here. Why should we be on the Lord's side? Because it's the side of truth and righteousness. It's the happy side. I just said it comes with blessings. It's the safe side. He shepherds me, Brother Aaron. Under the shadow of His wings is where I like to be. And lastly, why should we be on the Lord's side? Why should we stand up for the Lord? Why should we go the way that the Lord wants us to? Because of all He's done for us. How good is this? Have you thought about it today? What the Lord has done for you? Sometimes I just like to sit in the well. Sometimes I wonder what the Lord's done for me that I don't even know what it is. Doors is open. Days He's kept me safe. Things He's kept me from. You don't know where the Lord's kept me from. You don't know what's going on in the heart beside you, the home beside you. You don't know. All the things that He's done for me, I would praise this. For all He's done, I want to lift my hands and thank Him. For all He's done, I want to live my life, please. And I don't even know if that's the right words or not. Those words sound good, do they not? For all He's done, I love the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Let's all stand. Mr. Morris, can you come play something this morning? I want to know today, who's on the Lord's side? Are you with the Lord this morning? There is no neutrality. Oh, don't know if that's a word. Don't be neutral. Don't be neutral this morning. You can't be. You got to pick a side. What side are you going to be on? Are you coming with me? I'm like Moses this morning. I want to know, as your preacher this morning, who's on the Lord's side? What side are you on today? What side are you going to be on tomorrow when that crowd comes? It says, oh, you don't have to go to church. Just read your Bible. You don't have to go to church. Just pray. But I'm going to be the first one to publicly tell you, if I do not go to church, my Bible reading will quit. It'll slow down. If I don't go to church, I won't pray like I'm supposed to. If I don't go to church, I won't live the life of the Lord like I'm supposed to. Who's on the Lord's side this morning? Maybe you've been faced with some things this week that's trying to pull you away from God. Would you bring it to God? You just play with its own heart and spoilers. Maybe you know somebody that is fighting with this world and the world's got a grip on them. Would you come and pray for them this morning? Would you come and lift their name up to the Lord and say, God, just help them. You know the battle that they're going through today. Or maybe you need to come and pray today and you made up your mind that you're on the Lord's side. And you want to have strength. You want to have boldness to keep going for the Lord. People will tell you to quit. People will tell you it ain't important. I'd love to see these kids coming along for this morning. Somebody ought to come pray for them. Who's on the Lord's side? Mamas and daddies, it's up to us to set the example. Grandma and grandpa, it's up to you to set the example. Are we on the Lord's side today? What side are you on? James said, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy to God. You ain't going to serve both. God says you can't serve God and mammon too. Which one's it going to be? Where's your loyalty at today? Oh, I'm a loyal person. I've been a faithful husband. I've been a faithful wife. I've been a faithful mother. I've been a faithful father. I'm loyal. I've been faithful to my brothers and my sisters. I've been faithful to my children. But have you been loyal to God? What about your loyalty to Him? You're all here at church today, so that's a good start to the day. But where are you going to go when you leave here? To them, but I know they'll just tell me to no. I know they'll just tell me no. Ask them anyway to the church. When the Lord opens the door for a testimony, you ought to give your testimony. We are the Lord's. I'm thankful for an earthly day that I got. But I sure am thankful for my Heavenly Father more than anything else. Father that corrects me, that loves me, that wants me in the right way. What about you today, the way that you're going? Only you know this. If there was any part of the message that hit home this morning, I promise you I ain't been stalking you and I ain't investigating your life. It might just be that the Holy Ghost has got your number this morning. God preached to me this morning. He preaches to me all the time. Every time I open my Bible, it convicts me. It lets them know where I'm going to go. We all still have flesh. We just can't get things right with the Lord this morning. Whatever you need, I can help meet your need. Thank you for being here this morning. Please don't forget, come back tonight, 6 p.m. church service. Be praying for one another. If you can't come back tonight at 6, please come back Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for the church. Also, and I have been forgetting to do this, and I'm not going to bring them up front because I know that she's pretty shy. But a couple of Wednesday nights ago,
Brother Tim and Miss Lisa Hornish, they joined our church to be a part of our family. And I told them, they'd talked to me about wanting to join, and I said, that'd be great. I said, when do you want to join? And they said, well, what about a Sunday night? Well, I said, you join any night you want to. I said, don't matter. Whatever night you want to join. And so I know that a lot of people might know, but they joined in fellowship with us a couple of weeks ago, and we sure appreciate that. So just let them know that you're a part of their family, or a part of our family, and I'm glad that we are a part of the family, and I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing, but I forget that sometimes, so I just wanted to let everybody know. I thought about that this morning. So make sure you welcome them in. Also, tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, be praying for one another. Anybody you notice that's not here, pray for them. Check on them as I do too. If you want to send somebody out a card, please don't forget that. I know I've been forgetting to give that out. Make sure you get with Miss Dolores. Please give her the name and the address. The name ain't going to do no good without address. Please get with her if you want to send out a card. She sends that out and just sends the most precious cards I've ever seen in my life, Miss Dolores does. And I appreciate that ministry, Miss Dolores. But get her that information and kind of give her a heads up what it needs. Maybe somebody's sick, somebody's out of church, whatever it is, let them know. And I notice she puts great scripture in there too, and I just appreciate what she's doing. But thank you for being here today. If you need us, please call us, text us, whatever we can do. Please be safe today. If you're sick, please stay home. If you know people that's sick, please call and check on them. Make sure you take care of yourself, wash your hands, do what you need to do to stay safe, because I don't want anybody sick in our church.
Amen.
Because if you get sick, I can't come to the hospital and see you. They ain't letting no visitors. So stay safe. I can pray for you. I do that anyway. I love you, church. I'd like to give every one of you a flyer this morning. Just let you know I love you very much and so thankful for you. Anything else on your heart before we dismiss?
Please continue to remember
the Lewis family. Yes. Pray for them. The Lewis family there in Somerville. Hey man, let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. What a blessing that is. 4 months seizure free. Well, thank you for that, Miss Paula.